Sherry's.
This meeting is being recorded.
Okay. Tom Borges.
Tom is here.
Tom is here. Sharon Adams is here as treasurer. Sharon,
Yes, I'm here.
And Antonio Ortiz, general manager. Interim.
I am here.
Okay. Thank you, Antonio. Okay,
Carol, we had some people come after you started making roll calls. They're here.
I will go through. Brian Crowell. Chris Corey.
I'm here.
Oh, Chris. Okay, Chris is here. Darlene Pagano.
Here.
Okay, Darlene is here. And Fred Dodsworth.
Is here.
Oh, everybody came in. A lot of people.
I was in the waiting room for 5 minutes at least.
Oh, okay. Mark Van Landuit. Okay. So I would like to make a motion that those who are not, let's see, for those who requested that we have an excused absence for them.
Do I have a second?
I'll second it, Chris.
Thank you.
Is there any objection?
Is there any objection?
Members are excused. You might read those names if you want.
Those members are excused from the meeting. And Elizabeth Miles has her hand up. What, you had a point of, to make, Elizabeth?
Yes, if you could please make the chat available to all LSB members. It's not, doesn't seem, it only seems to be available to the host as per the communication policy of Pacifica, where we're supposed to be able to have communication among ourselves.
You're out of order, and we're not going to make it available to everybody. As usual, we make it available to only our LSB members. Thank you.
Well, it's not available to us.
It's not an argument. I've ruled on the chair. I'm ruled.
It's not available to us as LSB members. No, it's not.
Okay. Jesus. Can we check with the administrator? That definitely should be available to all LSB members.
I think it's available now if you check it out.
I think sometimes
Thank you.
I think sometimes people don't know how to use the chat. So they need to go to click on the right space rather than take a right one.
Okay, thank you. Can we get someone to do timing for us?
Sure, no,
I can do it.
Is that Sharon?
Yes. What do you want me to time?
Whenever we need stuff timed.
Okay. Well, just tell me when it is and what you want, and then
We're looking for 2 minutes for each person. Two minutes.
And I would like to ask Sharon to time people. And if Darlene, do you have the agenda, Darlene? Do you have the times on the agenda?
I didn't print it out. I'm sorry. No.
Okay. Is
Why don't we have Darlene time people and have Sharon time up?
No, yeah. But Sharon doesn't have the agenda.
I don't have it either, no.
Okay. Is there someone who has the agenda who would like to time?
I will look at the agenda and try to time.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I'll note that Mark Van Landuit is here now.
Thank you. So I'm marking Mark Van Landuit. Present. Thank you.
Great. And now we've sent out the agenda. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
Move to approve the agenda.
I would like to add something to the agenda, please, under old business.
Point of order, Madam Chair.
Is there any old business? Left something at the last minute not reached?
Is there any old business? I mean,
nothing listed.
Point of order, Madam Chair.
Yes.
State your
point of order, please.
So I made a motion to approve the agenda, and I was waiting for a second before.
I second it.
Thank you. Yeah, we need to deal with that business first. One motion.
Process an addition, amendment to the agenda.
Right.
What is, what?
We need to process an amendment to the agenda. Could you please state what your amendment is?
It can't be old business because it wasn't on the agenda for last meeting.
Okay. Yeah. I think I'm hearing what the gentleman is saying to you right now. So,
right, that's good.
The old business Well, first of all, please, if you could please clarify what you mean by old business, that's on the agenda. But first and second of all, part of the old business happens to be, for example, a resolution that we presented in support of Frank Sterling back in March, which was never given a vote. We presented that timely, and it was we never really got to it, to tell you the truth. So that would fall under old business, would not, if we didn't, if it has, it was not given the dignity
yes.
of the vote.
It would be old business, and we will get to it under old
point
business.
Of order.
Yes, Carol.
Yeah.
Point of order.
On the agenda sent out on Friday, it has old business on the agenda. So there's no need to amend the agenda because it's already there.
Right. It's a, it's under 11 old business. So it's already there. Old business is on the agenda and that will fall under unfinished business, under old business.
Okay.
So
thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
So do I have a, is any, does anybody object to the agenda being approved?
Great objection. The agenda is approved.
I see no hands objecting. Without objection, the agenda is approved. Now we'll move on to KPFA management reports. Although that's time certain.
Or earlier.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we're already, or earlier. So, go ahead with the reports. So, Carol, do you know who's first?
Well, I'd like to reintroduce Antonio Ortiz is here, our interim general manager, and he has other someone else who he will be presenting. Go ahead, Antonio.
Thank you. I want to say good morning to everyone on the board. It's a lovely Saturday, and I'm practicing my goal as an interim general manager of supporting leadership at the station with the people that we have here. And one person who has moved up in the ranks is Mike Cohn when Brian David left as chief engineer in February. And so Mike Cohn is the interim chief engineer for KPFA. He's been doing a wonderful job in this time of transition. And I wanted to give him an opportunity to let you all know what's been going on with the engineering department, some of the changes that are happening, and the needs that the station has at this time. And I will leave it to Mike and also for you all to just get to see the staff members that we have, the other management team as we go along this year, just to see who they are so that you know the face. You can see the face to the name whenever you see any communication. Okay? So I will leave it to Mike Cohn.
You there, Mike? You take it away, Mike.
Sorry, I was on mute. how's it going? I'm Mike. I've been with KPFA since about 2014. I started out in the news department as an reporter, occasional fill-in for the anchors. But due to the constant need for technical help at like the odd hours and the weekends, I drifted into the engineering and board hopping departments. And yeah, here I am today. So I'd like to address with everybody some of the opportunities and the challenges that we're now facing. I'll specifically address the staff reductions that we've had in the engineering department and the resulting required need for a few capital expenditures. And so the things I'll be highlighting are investments we're making into our server upgrades, transmitter site maintenance, our transmitter switch upgrade, and our future plans to enhance technical support and online presence. So first, as everyone knows, we've had large staff reductions. And for the engineering department, that means we've shrunk from a team of 5 people to a team of 2. It's created a little bit of a vacuum in terms of workforce expertise and has, for me at least, has led to some concerns of how smoothly we're able to operate going forward. So to address that, the first thing is we have been upgrading and moving our server infrastructure. Their servers do a lot for KPFA. They host not just our website and our streams, but our phone systems, our entire capability of taking donations. Previously, Brian David helped expand and continue building on what was in place, and he had things going on minimal machinery because he personally had backups, and he personally had the expertise to get those backups that he owned in place during short needs of outages and such. While we can still reach him and his machines are currently available, moving forward into the future, we can't rely on that. He's no longer an employee. His equipment could disappear at any time. And so we have been upgrading. It'll take about $20,000, which we've actually already spent most of that and are just waiting for after this fund drive to put everything in place. We've also moved our cabinet server because it was only fed by a single power line, which has caused issues in the past, where now everything is on double power lines, making it extra secure. And we'll be running in triplicate version on the machine so that if any machine has an individual problem, we don't have issues taking money. We don't have issues continuing to broadcast. The next major upgrade that we have in place is our is at the transmitter site. Steve Hawes built almost everything up there. If he didn't plan and build it by himself, he was involved in the planning and installing of it. So with the loss of Steve, we have lost a lot of experience. We still have Steve on as a volunteer advisor, and in that capacity, we are utilizing him as much as we can, but his number one concern as he was heading out the door was letting us know that our transmitter switch, which in case of maintenance needed or in case there's a problem with our main transmitter, this is the large piece of machinery that switches us to our backup transmitter up on Grizzly Peak. And he was letting us know that probably only has a few years left of life. So he helped find somebody who has designed for us, and he is going to help oversee the installation of a new switch, which will also operate remotely, so that in case of emergencies, myself or Kai, our transmitter engineer, will be able to quickly switch us to the backup transmitter without having to drive all the way up the hill. Since there's only two instead of five of us, being able to have that remote capability, again, super important to making sure that we operate as smoothly as possible. That upgrade is going to cost around $5,000, a little less, but yeah. Another ongoing requirement at the transmitter site is we are in our cycle of every 7 years or so. We are legally required by the FCC and the FTA to make sure that our broad transmit tower is painted the correct orange color, has not faded, and that all of it is still structurally sound and in place. That is an ongoing operation that costs the station around $45,000 every 7 years. And like I said, that we started about a year ago. They've done the inspections on it, and this year coming up, the actual painting and work will need to be done. So while brings up together, obviously there's a lot of financial concerns there that I've laid out. And we acknowledge that we're adding to some of these concerns with major capital expenses, but it's important to note that these are one-time investments, with the exception of the ongoing tower paintings. But the rest of these expenses should put us in a favorable long-term position. They'll make us more stable since we just cut more than 3,000 hours annually from the department. This will allow these machines will be more stable, more capable, and also put us in a position to expand going forward. So looking ahead, we're committed to enhancing our technical support for both the staff and listeners as well. One of the things that I'm most excited about that will hopefully be beta testing in the next month or two, and then in probably 4 to 6 months releasing for staff members, is we're working on a ticketing system so that if any major problem arises, you can quickly address either the engineering department, we're hoping the operations department also picks it up, and it'll let people not only reach out about issues they're experiencing, but follow along with the solutions instead of having to just sit there and wait for an answer to come back to them. Once those systems are in place, as well as all of the infrastructure I've been talking about, we're hoping that we'll be in a great place for remote troubleshooting and basically allowing us with this reduced staff to continue running as smoothly as we have, if not better. So in conclusion, the reduction in staff within our engineering department has posed challenges in terms of both workforce and expertise, but we are taking proactive steps to address these issues by investing in upgrades at our server site and our transmitter site. And so while we are spending about $26,000 in new capital expenses, as well as the unfortunate legal requirements of the $45,000 for the tower painting and maintenance, we hope that the...
Mike, you went on mute, Mike.
Oh, sorry. I don't know if there was a timer there, but...
Sorry, that was my fault. My bad.
No worries. So yeah, we're hoping that although these one-time expenses are going to be large, that they will balance out, especially because of how much easily we will be able to operate with reduced staff. Thanks, and I can take any questions now.
Thank you. Do we have any questions for Mike?
Hi, this is Don. Never mind. Okay, where's my hand?
Okay, well, Elizabeth had her hand up first. So I'll let Elizabeth go, Richard, and then you, Donald. So, Elizabeth, go ahead. You have a question?
I think Richard Walensky was first. I'm just for clarification. I don't want to be jumping up in front ahead of anybody.
That's fine. Can you hear me?
Go ahead, Richard.
Okay. Quick question about the off-air recording studio, the little one. I spoke with Antonio about getting sufficient ventilation in there to be able to use it again. And I know that a number of people on the staff would probably like to record in that little room again. What is the situation there, and when will people be able to start setting up interviews in the station rather than all be remote?
Yeah, great question. And I think these will be addressed a little bit better at the next LSB when you hear from the operations department. But I know that, and I should probably let Antonio handle this. He might know better, but there are plans for the station basically reopening, and they are working on getting air filters, I think this summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'll, going off of that. So we've been having meetings with the health and safety committee about how we're going to open up safely. I sent a message out to all staff that it was going to be a slow open. So we would do bit by bit, depending on need. And, right now it's still in that position. And I know for a lot of folks, there is some frustration of the station having very strict or continuing to have strict health and safety protocols. What I'm practicing is trying to figure out where is that balance, that middle line, because there are still a few individuals who are very concerned about their own personal health or health of people that they're taking care of. And so, so just know that it's been a balance, and we're moving forward, and it's slower than what people have wanted, the majority. But we're trying to figure out how to make it so that everyone feels safe and secure in the environment. We'll be keeping you posted. We're still working on when we're going to get the filters for that tiny room. But that's still in process. The date that we were putting out there to start opening up would be June 5th, but that doesn't mean that June 5th, the station is wide open and anyone can come. It's pretty much figuring out who's going to be the first crop of people, maybe 4 to 5 people to get in and get trained for the first week. So we're going to do it bit by bit because we also have to make sure that the operations department is going to be successful in training individuals, and they need time. They're not going to be able to do every single person in the first week. But that's going to be sent to the staff as we go along. Okay. And I hope that answers your question, Richard.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Antonio. I'm Elizabeth Milos.
Yes. Hello, Antonio. How are you? I have a question relating to, Pacifica Foundation's mission is basically in radio broadcasting operations to engage in any activity that shall contribute to lasting understanding between nations and between the individuals of all nations, races, creeds, and colors, to gather and disseminate information on the causes of conflict between all and any such groups, and all means compatible with the purposes of this corporation to promote the study of political and economic problems. And I'm just like to know whether or not you are aware that Ian Masters, whom KPFA has given a 5 a.m. slot to, has attacked Pacifica Foundation repeatedly during his funding drives on KPFK in 2021, telling listeners to withhold their donations, and that he more recently called Venezuela's president a dictator, and he's talked about the need recently in his last programs that he has had on KPFA, has talked about the need for NATO to double down and deal Russia a fatal blow, and has interviewed people about the urgency of getting ammunition to the Ukraine. How does having somebody like Ian Masters on KPFA conform to Pacifica's mission? And on what universe would someone like that be permitted to use KPFA's airways to support war? Who made the decision to give him a show on KPFA?
Well, I'll let you know that the decision was made by me and management staff on figuring out how to solve another problem that we had, which was that there are some hours that require editing work that we no longer can afford. And so we were looking for a solution where we would have content that was done ahead of time, that was pre-syndicated content, to be able to play at the 5 a.m. slot, because we didn't have the funds and the resources to pay people to be able to edit that show. That being said, with regards to Ian Masters, I mean, I do know that there's some controversy about his show, but he was a show on Pacifica. It was on KPFK, and we were looking for a solution that would work for KPFA for 5 a.m., and that was an option that we went and we're trying it out, and we're just seeing how it works for us. And so I'll just put out there, thank you for letting me know about what you're hearing from that show. It's something that we'll have to have conversations with him more about. But just know that we're looking at solutions that are at this moment kind of working for us at the 5 a.m. slot. And that's just kind of where we're at.
Thank you, Antonio. Chris Corey.
Thank you. Mike, how many full-time persons do we have, running board at this juncture?
So the board operators at this point fall into the operations department.
I see.
But we full-time, we have one.
One.
We have one and one part-time, and then we have a few people who are capable of fill-in, but they are not. There's no regular hours for them or any, or like as such.
Do we have anybody on call for like an emergent situation?
Pacifica has a, for, are you talking about board operators or?
Yeah, board op, board op. I mean, for a technical, for like a technical transmission issue.
Well, those are two separate.
Okay. Can you explain the difference then?
Yeah, so the board operators really only run the board. They move faders up and down and turn them on and off. They connect to people, guests via phone and computer.
Okay.
Our transmit engineering is currently just a single 30-hour week. Pacifica has one transmit engineer, sort of on call for the network. And then we have volunteer relationships with a number of people, and we have had discussions of putting someone on retainer, but we do not currently have anyone. No.
Okay. I won't bother questioning that now. I was just curious as to what the personnel situation was in regard to operating the station. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Can I just add to what Mike was saying, that for the operations department, I would love, my hope is for Jose Gonzalez, who is coordinating the operations coordinator, to do a quick presentation or report at the next LSB meeting. But just know that department was reduced from 5 people to 3. We do have some fill-ins that are coming in. We're also working on figuring out how to entice more people to come in as a fill-in board operator. The challenges with being a fill-in is that we can go through the training process, but there's not that many opportunities of board op shifts to keep people with their skills up and hands-on experience weekly. So it's just something that I'm having a conversation with Jose about, like, how are we going to move on in the future to entice more fill-ins and get a bigger group of people available to be able to keep the station running smoothly in that respect.
Thank you, Antonio.
Thank you.
Donald?
Yes. First of all, I want to thank Mike for this report. It sounds like you're really on top of stuff, and I appreciate that, because without IT, et cetera, we wouldn't be on the air. So my question is a simple one. How are you making do with a reduction of 60% of personnel? Is it that you're automating everything, or there are gaps here?
Right. So a little of A, a little of B. Most of the expenditures that I just listed out in the report, are so that it requires less hands-on monitoring, more automated monitoring so that we get alerts when things go wrong. And then just more stable systems, so less things go wrong in general. At the moment, we are heavily relying on volunteers as well, which is great that KPFA has people who are dedicated enough to volunteer, but in the long term, it's not something we can consistently rely on, just because people's schedules, if they have lives outside of volunteering as well. It's just like, I used to hand check things every day in the stations, and now either myself or Kai will check them remotely. I'm positive some things are probably falling through the cracks, and we'll discover them more as the station opens back up and more people are using them. But as we replace things, things should hopefully run smoothly enough that it remote monitoring makes more sense. So it saves this time, because I can do it. We can do it at any point a problem arises, sort of.
Okay, so if in their best world, would you want another staff person?
Oh, absolutely. If we could have all 5, the full staff back that we had, that would be ideal.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I think Fred is next.
Hi, I just want to make 2 kind of comments. The first one is that I'm very, very anti-war, but I consider defense not an act of war, but an act of defense. And we've all seen, vis-a-vis World War II, what happened when we caved and didn't stop a violent regime from taking over of surrounding lands. The other thing I wanted to say was that, I just forgot it. I'm sorry. We have 8 minutes left on this particular issue. And if we remember, I'll bring it back.
Okay. Thank you. Daniel Borgstrom is next.
Yes. Daniel here. I noticed with, new addition, Ian Masters, and I have heard him promote the industrial military complex. So I would see this as an opportunity for funding. We should be hitting up the industrial military complex for funding of KPFA and Pacifica.
Do you have a question, Daniel?
Yes. Have you thought of that? Will you do that?
You have a serious question for any of the management, because that's obviously not a serious question.
No, I am serious.
If not, we're going to move on. Carol, you're next. Carol?
Yes. First of all, I want to thank Mike. I think it's so important, and also Antonio, that the management has been looking forward and not waiting for a disaster to hit, but taking things and planning and addressing situations before they arise. And that is crucial. And I appreciate that. And I also want to note that the situation in Venezuela is complex. The situation with the Ukraine is complex. So I think what we need to do is have in-depth analysis of these multifaceted situations, economically and politically. And I just want to take this time to appreciate the range of programming that KPFA has, and the amazing technical innovations that you've made, Antonio and Mike.
Thank you, Carol. Fred, you remembered what you wanted to say?
Yeah, I do. And I also want to add my thanks to Mike and Antonio. You guys seem to be doing an amazing job, and it's really much appreciated. One of the things that Mike brought up was the filtration system. And I know that a lot of people are kind of tired of COVID, but I need to let everybody know that a dear friend of mine, a young, healthy man, just got COVID 2 weeks ago and was lined up until just a few days ago. And that at the City of Berkeley Library, a 42-year-old woman got the COVID several months ago and died within 3 days. She's 42. She was not immunocompromised. She left behind 3 children without a mother. So I'm really, really supportive of filtration systems and protecting not just our most vulnerable members of our community, but everyone, because we're all at risk. I got COVID. It was not fun, but I'm boosted and vaxxed and boosted and vaxxed and boosted and vaxxed. And it still got me, and it knocked me out for 3 or 4 days, and I'm glad that I survived it. Thank you.
I'm glad you survived it too, Fred. Thank you. Richard? Richard Walensky? You're muted, Richard.
Yeah, I see that. I'm not muted now. Okay, this is basically a comment to Mike and Antonio, which is that every time I've had an issue with either my program or with other people trying to contact them or with any technical issue, both Mike and Antonio have gotten back to me virtually immediately, and we've solved the problems quickly. And I really, really want to thank Mike and also Rod for having gone way beyond the call of duty to get everything in order. And this is really important because I'm on the front lines there, and getting everything done and solving problems has been an absolute joy lately. So thank all of you, and thank the volunteers for their help.
Thank you, Richard. Can I just say that there have been some people coming into the state, not coming into the station, but we have somebody working with the development department because of our membership coordinator, Alejandra Triana, found another opportunity, and I'm really excited for her. But that left us in a position where we had to scramble to find someone to help us with the fund drives, our fundraising engine. And one comment that this person, Italina Kirkness, said to me was that the response and speed with regards to help technically from the engineering department has been really immediate and wonderful. And so I know that the challenges that we face at the station is that we're understaffed, under-resourced in a lot of ways. And there are some messages that are being sent or some communication that sometimes it's not addressed as immediately. And unfortunately for us, we're basing it off of what is the highest priority at that time. And I'll just let you all know that night and day, since I came back to the station in 2017, where every single day there was always a disaster that was happening and me and Brian David had to deal with it, every single day. As time went on, those quote unquote disasters happened once a week. Then they started becoming once a month. Now we have them, but we're actually better poised to have time to start talking about potential solutions versus just reacting and then making a decision right then and there to fix a problem that we should have talked about a month in advance. So it's not perfect, but I can rest assured that when there's a technical problem, Mike and his team and even the operations department will deal with it. I see a lot of the communication. I see a lot of it moving forward. And so I know that the station is in a good position with this team, but I also do understand that in order for us to grow, I agree with Mike that department has to be bigger, but unfortunately we're in this place and we're having conversations like that in the management team, weekly about like, where are we going to make changes to move forward? So, one thing that has helped Mike is that some of these programming changes, some of these changes in operations has actually helped them. I'm going to be speaking for it because in the end, I feel like that's how it's going. So I don't know if that's necessarily true, but there are these minor changes that we're making because in the end, even though it seems like a big deal, it actually helps the staff in the building to free up some time to address other issues. And so that's really what I've also been focusing on with each department. Like, how can we work better as a team? What things have we been doing that no longer serve us at this point and we don't have the time and resources to support? How do we let that go so that we can start building ourselves and be more stable so that, hey, when, I don't know, like say we do a fund drive and we make $1 million, then we're able to grow. I'm going to put it out there, like coming in. But when that happens, I want to make sure that the station is poised so that we could take advantage of that opportunity so that we can really grow. And at this time, it's really figuring out how can we be more efficient and better with our time and also allow the people that we're working here, how are they going to be able to also get rest as well so that they can maintain this?
Point of information, we are at time.
Okay. Thank you very much. I think that was very enlightening, and I really appreciate you coming here, Antonio and Mike, both of you, and sharing very important information with us and in such an easy to understand way. And since I'm that's not my forte, but you know, I thought that you explained it very well so that it was understandable for all of us. And thank you very much for coming and taking questions.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. And,
thank you.
You guys have a productive meeting.
Thank you. Okay. Thanks. You take care. Have a good rest of your day. We'll be having fun here. You go out in the world.
Bye. I got a little bit of work left at the station, but after that.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
I need to also note that I do not have the agenda for the executive session.
Okay. Carol, could you send that to Fred?
We're trying to keep it versus
the main drag.
I have a question. May I be recognized?
Yes. What's your question?
At the stop sign, turn left onto 4th Avenue. Then turn left.
Lily, could you mute? Okay.
I did it. I took care of it.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Elizabeth.
Generally, for executive session, there has to be some kind of inkling as to what the executive session is about. Is it covering personnel issues or proprietary information or any legal issues at this time for it to be warranted as an executive session?
It's listed on the agenda as to discuss proprietary and personnel information. It's on the agenda.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. So we're going to break from this meeting now, and we'll be going back onto the link, and only LSB members will be there. So let's end this portion of the meeting, and then we'll return to the meeting, the main meeting, after we finish our executive session.
I'm sorry, one more thing. Please, could you save the chat, please, because the resolution is there, or I could place it again next time for the old business resolution.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, will do.
Point of order.
Yes, Carol?
I just wanted to share that for anybody who I just resent the link to the executive session for people in case you don't have it, if you don't have the agenda or something.
I've got it. I don't see the agenda on your link, Carol.
And for the people who are...
We will discuss the agenda when we're in executive session.
Thank you. And for people who are going to want to come back to our main meeting, the executive session is set to last for 45 minutes. So that would be...
Right now, 11:50, so 45 minutes will be 12:35. I would advise 12:40.
Okay. Probably 12:40 would be safe for our people who just want
to... And we may take a break.
Okay.
So we leave this meeting and then click on for the executive session?
Yes.
That's right.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
It's Andrea. Okay. Now, this meeting is now closed.
Are we moving directly to executive session or we have a little...
No.
Now break?
Directly. It'll take a few minutes to set up. But
okay, thank you.